15. Refusing sex to the husband. On the basis of the following hadith, it is understood that if a wife refuses sex to her husband, she will be cursed by the angels. Abu Huraira reported from the Prophet, when a husband calls his wife to bed and she refuses, and as a result the husband spends the night in anger, then angels curse the wife all night till dawn. Al-Bukhari, Al-Jami'a Sahih, Volume 2, page 1257, Hadith number 3237. In order to understand this hadith, the following points need to be understood. Firstly, a husband and wife safeguard the chastity of one another by providing one another a legitimate means of satisfying the sexual urge. The protection of chastity is essential for the preservation of the family unit, the very institution on which the stability of a society hinges. Hence, anything which puts chastity in jeopardy is disliked by the Almighty. Secondly, a man is an adversary of the directive mentioned in this hadith on an equal basis. This is evident from the directive of Ilah mentioned in the Quran in Surah Baqarah verses 226 and 227, in which the Arabs of the pre-Islamic period would swear to sever sexual relationship with their wives because of anger. Although the husbands were prescribed a period of 4 months to decide the fate of their wives by either resuming these relations or divorcing them, it is evident from the directive that in normal circumstances, a husband is not allowed to sever sexual relations with his wife without a valid reason. So much so, if a person swears such an oath, he must break it. Such relations are the right of a wife, and if a husband does not fulfill them, then he can be regarded a criminal, both in the eyes of the law and before the Almighty in the hereafter. Thirdly, the basis of refusal by the husband or wife must be taken into consideration. If either of them is tired, sick, or simply not in the proper mood and in the appropriate frame of mind, then this does not entail any wrath of the Almighty. It is only when a spouse starts to deliberately evade such natural needs of the other that the attitude becomes questionable. 16. The right to beat wives. The right given by the Quran to the husbands to physically punish their wives in certain circumstances is an issue which has become a subject of hot debate. The issue needs to be understood in its true perspective. The Quran states, وَاللَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِزُوهُنَّ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَاضْرِبُوهُنَّ فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَكُمْ فَلَا تَبْغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. And as for those from whom you fear rebellion, admonish them first, and next refuse to share their beds. And even then, if they do not listen, punish them. Then if they obey you, take no further action against them. Indeed, God is exalted and mighty. Surah number 4, verse 34. The following implications of this verse need to be understood in their proper perspective. A. Firstly, this measure can only be resorted to when a wife starts to challenge the authority of the husband and threatens to disrupt the family setup. It is in fact a last resort to protect the institution of family from breaking up. It must not be resorted to in anything less in severity than a rebellious attitude from the wife. This rebellious attitude is termed as nushuz by the Quran. It has not used the word disobedience. Any difference of opinion or altercation is not to be resolved by this procedure. Disagreements and disputes must be settled mutually. It is only when the wife stands up against the authority of her husband that this procedure be employed. B. Before resorting to physical chastisement, the two previous stages mentioned by the Quran must elapse. The husband should first of all admonish his wife and convince her to give up her defiant behavior. He should exercise all the patience he can muster to urge and beseech her to change her stance. If, after repeated pleas and continuous admonition over a considerable span of time, the wife continues to persist in a rebellious attitude, he has the authority to go to the second stage by avoiding marital contact with her. This detachment, it is clear, is a form of reproof and a very strong appeal to the wife to correct herself. Again, this attitude should continue for a substantial period of time so that the point is driven home. It is highly unlikely that most wives would persist in their arrogance after these two initial stages. In all probability, patience, forbearance, and restraint would have conquered their hearts. However, even after this stage, if a wife refuses to accept the authority of her husband, the husband has the right to finally resort to gentle physical affliction. C. If the husband is left with no alternative but to physically punish his wife, he must be very careful in this regard and must not wound or injure her. He should remember that this physical chastisement is similar to the one a mother gives to a rebellious son or the one a teacher gives to an unruly student. He must be aware that in case he misuses his authority in any way, he will be held responsible before the Almighty on the Day of Judgment. In this world also, his wife has the right to report his behavior to the authorities, who can punish him for any misconduct in this regard. D. It finally needs to be understood that all rights must be exercised with prudence, keeping in view the circumstances. Exercising one's right is never obligatory. There can be circumstances in which a person chooses not to exercise this right. 17. The daughter's share in inheritance. The clarification presented in this section is based on Javed Ahmed Ghamidi's view. Why is the share of a daughter one half that of a son? Does this mean that sons occupy more importance than daughters? This issue, too, needs to be understood in its proper perspective. It is a universally acknowledged fact that the extent of help and cooperation which a person receives from his parents, children, and other similar relations has little chances of being paralleled by any other association. Undoubtedly, the world has always considered the kith and kin of a deceased as the rightful beneficiaries of the wealth he has left behind. But certain issues in this regard have always remained unresolved. For example, who among the kindred is nearest with respect to the benefit he holds for the deceased? And how should the inherited shares be ascertained on this basis? In this matter, the extent to which the human mind has faltered and stumbled can be seen from the frequent history these blunders have continued to make. It is not that human endeavor in this regard has fallen prey to any lack of application. Rather, it is due to certain inherent limitations of the human mind which have made the task beyond its reach. Love, hatred, prejudice, and other emotions have made it impossible for human intellect to come to grips with this challenge. Consequently, the Almighty Himself has guided mankind in this affair to relieve an Islamic society from the disorders which have originated on this account. The Quran states, أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ لَا تَدْرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا فَرِيضَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. You know not who among your children and parents are nearest to you in benefit. This is the law of God. Indeed, God is wise and all-knowing. Surah number 4, verse 11. It is clear from the above-quoted verse that the law of inheritance, as stated in the Quran, is based on the underlying cause of nearest in benefit, as indicated by the words, لَا تَدْرُونَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ لَكُمْ نَفْعًا, or, you know not who among your children and parents are nearest to you in benefit. Consequently, the directive, in reality, does not pertain to the relatives, but is related to the underlying cause present in this relationship, which actually entitles them to become the heirs. Thus, the basic reason why the share of a son is more than that of a daughter is the fact that in the life of the parents, the son is usually more beneficial to them than the daughter. This is so simple a fact that it can be easily understood in societies where the institution of family is still very strong and has deep roots. In a family system, parents become dependent on the children as they grow old. The ease and comfort they feel in living with a son is much more than what they feel while living with a daughter. The simple reason is that a son is independent in taking decisions, while a daughter, once she gets married, is actually more dependent on her own husband and is not independent. The modern Western mind feels averse to this distribution because the family system is dwindling in their society. One thing which may be worth mentioning here is there may be cases even in societies having a strong family system where a daughter may prove more beneficial to her parents than the son. Similarly, there may be cases in which a daughter may require more monetary help because of her circumstances. This can, of course, be true for a son as well. In such cases, there is a provision that the daughter or son be given more wealth through a will made in their favor. This will, it is clear, is not on the basis of one's kinship with the deceased, for if it is regarded so, it will alter the divine shares. This will is on the basis of some need of an heir. As per another provision in Islamic law, a parent in his lifetime can gift as much wealth as is deemed necessary to a child. In short, the 2:1 ratio pertains to normal circumstances. In exceptional ones, there exist remedies to the Islamic law, some of which have been explained above. Lastly, this difference of share is among the children only, since the difference in benefit exists. On the other hand, as far as receiving the inheritance of a child is concerned, in most cases stipulated by Islamic law, both the mother and the father receive an equal share, that is 1/6, because for a child, the benefit from a mother and a father is equal. 18. Polygamy. Some people are of the opinion that Islam has allowed a Muslim to keep up to 4 wives at one time, since keeping 4 wives is a man's essential physical and psychological need. This inference is not correct. In normal circumstances, a family comes into being through wedlock between one man and one woman. A subtle reference to this is made by the Quran in Surah An-Nisa, verse 1, where it alludes to the fact that when the Almighty created Adam, He made Eve for him as the only wife. Naturally, had a man physically needed more than one wife, the Almighty would have created more wives for Adam instead of just one. In this regard, it should be understood that the issue of polygamy has been mentioned in the Quran as a means to make use of this pre-Islamic practice to solve a certain social problem that had arisen in those times. Many men were martyred in various battles, leaving behind orphan children. The Quran appealed to men of that society to come forward to help these orphan children by marrying their mothers, since these mothers, if supported, would be in the best position for their upbringing. In other words, the view of the Quran is that people were taken to polygamy for various reasons, and they would do a great service if they marry to solve the plight of these orphans. The Quran states, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَ فَانْكِحُوا مَا تَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً فَإِنْ طِبْنَ لَكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِنْهُ نَفْسًا فَكُلُوهُ هَنِيئًا مَرِيئًا. And if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with the orphans, marry their mothers that are lawful to you, 2:2, 3:3, 4:4. But if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with them, then only one, or those which your right hands possess. That will be more suitable to prevent you from doing injustice. And give these women their dowers also the way dowers are given. But if they of their own good pleasure remit any part of it to you, take it and consume it gladly. Surah number 4, verses 3 and 4. It needs to be appreciated that it was basically social, psychological, political, and cultural needs from which arose the need for polygamy. Such needs existed in various societies to different extents. To cater for these very needs, the Almighty never forbade this practice in the Sharia He gave in various periods of time. Here in these verses, Muslims are directed to make use of this practice to solve a social problem that had arisen in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next thing that a person should know is that as per the Quran, if a person cannot maintain justice between the wives in this regard, he should not marry more than one, even for a purpose as noble as supporting the orphans. One can be more attached to one wife than the others. This is but natural, and to demand justice in this matter is injustice in itself. What is required from the husband, as the Quran points out, is that as far as the rights of the wives are concerned, he must always deal fairly and equally among them. The Quran has further clarified this issue in the following words. وَلَنْ تَسْتَطِيرُ وَنْ تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَسْتُمْ فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ فَتَذَرُوهَا كَالْمُعَلَّكَ وَإِنْ تُصْلِحُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا وَإِنْ يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِنْ سَعَتِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ وَاسِعًا حَكِيمًا. And even if it is your ardent desire, you will never be able to be totally just between wives. So it is enough if you do not completely incline yourself to a wife altogether so as to leave the other aside. And if you come to a friendly undertaking and fear God, God is all-forgiving, most merciful. But if they disagree and eventually must part, God will provide abundance for each from His bounty. He is bountiful and wise. Surah number 4, verse 129 and 130. There is another reason here that needs clarification, since women often ask the reason for forbidding them to marry more than one husband. In this regard, it needs to be understood that if a family is to come into being, not only should there be only one head, but also one person should not be placed under the command of multiple heads, otherwise great anarchy would result. So, just as a state cannot have more than one ruler, a family cannot have more than one head. Since in the family setup envisaged by Islam, husbands are to head the family, if a wife has multiple husbands, she would be placed under the authority of many husbands at the same time.